Amen. What a terrific song, song of great prayer. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Looking once again this morning at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit goes along perfectly with that song, Fill Me Now. Galatians chapter 5, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, that is our prayer today, that you would fill us now, that you would control us by thy precious Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Holy Spirit now would lead and guide and teach us, Lord, stir our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we've looked at the first one there, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Number three, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Number four, the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Number five, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And number six, this morning, if you're taking notes, we get down to the sixth one, which is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Goodness, according to Strong's, is defined as virtue. Virtue. Doesn't seem like we have much of that anymore, does it? Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary defines goodness as the quality or state of being good, the nutritious, flavorful or beneficial part of something. That's why I guess when we get older, we eat broccoli and things like that. Amen. Unless you're president of the United States. I think it was George Bush Sr. that said when he became president of the United States, he said he didn't have to eat broccoli anymore. He's the president of the United States. That didn't go over too well with a lot of people. So I'm not sure why that is. Whether it's the older we get, the more our taste buds just don't taste things, so we start eating things, or how that works, I'm not sure. I'll have you know, though, I must confess that I did eat pineapple. Maybe I already told you that. So now I expect Brother Randy to eat strawberries and Brother Jim peas and amen. We were at a young people fellowship, Progressive Supper, and there was pineapple there. And one of the young people said, well, wouldn't it be rude if someone made something and you refused to eat it? Wouldn't that be rude? And I said, yeah, that would be rude. And they said, who made pineapple? God. So I just had to eat it. You know, after that, I just had to eat it. So, amen. So, goodness. The quality or state of being good, the nutritious, flavorful, or beneficial part of something. Good. Something good. So the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. It's something beneficial. As it were, spiritually speaking, nutritional. Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life, as everlasting water. So the fruit of the Spirit, something good, is beneficial, nutritional, as it were, spiritually speaking. So notice in Matthew 19. Now we know that if we need to be good, if we need that fruit in our lives, we know that only God can bring that about. Only God could bring forth good fruit in our lives. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, what? Good master. What does it say? Good thing. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me what? Good. There is what? None good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, and we'll look at that in just a moment. So he says, good master, what good thing shall I do to get eternal life? And Jesus immediately says, why did you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. So if there is some good fruit seen in our lives, we know it's got to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because there is none good but one, and that is God. God. Our goodness is like a dream I had the other night. I don't know, on the way to the Gaffneys and Jeremy and Julie's house, there's a couple old cars, just a little bit, just you have to round a corner, but a couple old cars, and at least one of them's a Mustang, maybe both of them are. And I don't know if that's what stirred up this dream. I don't know, but I had a dream. And my wife and I stopped to look at a Mustang, an old Mustang in someone's yard. And in the dream, it looked just immaculate. You know, an old Mustang, but just perfect. And I got in the car, and my wife and I took it for a drive. And, I mean, the inside was immaculate, and we were commenting on, must be an old lady owned this car. Because it was just, I mean, it was just perfect. But then as dreams go, and it was $1,900. I thought, wow. And I looked at the odometer, and it had 30,000 some miles on it. I thought, wow, for $1,900, this car, 30-some thousand. I was thinking, wow, this thing has a lot of miles left in for that much money. But then as dreams go, I got outside of the car and started looking around, and suddenly I saw huge rust spots. And I mean, up halfway up the fender then in this dream, I looked, and the fender was completely gone. It was rusted. The metal was totally gone where you could see the inside, you know, of the fender, the parts of the car that you can't normally see. And I was thinking, whoa, I didn't notice that when we stopped. I thought this car was in immaculate shape. And then I got to noticing in the dream, and the tires were really worn, a weird pattern, never seen anything like it. And I thought, this is strange. We just took this car for a ride, and I was mentioning how nice it rode. Well, if tires are worn like that, it's not going to ride nice. It's going to ride rough. And so the first time I looked at that car in my dream, it looked immaculate. And the next time I looked at it, it looked like, wow, this thing's ready for the junkyard. The fenders are rusted right out halfway up. The tires are worn terribly. And like many dreams are, that was weird. It was strange. And it's the same way if, you know, at first glance, we may look at people or look at ourselves and think, well, wow, that thing I did was pretty good or what have you. But, you know, upon closer examination, we find that only God is good. Only God is good. And so as we continue reading down here in Matthew 19, in verse 17, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, what? All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He's saying, well, I checked all those off, Jesus. I've got 100% so far. What else is left? I check out okay there. So Jesus said, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he what? Went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So as we get out of the car of our lives, as it were, and begin upon closer examination, we see the faults. You know, the more light that is shown on something, the more the faults are seen. As you look at the moon with the bare eye, you know, you don't see all the craters, but when you get in closer, you see, I mean, the moon has just been rocked with rocks. I mean, it's been pelted, it's been pounded by rocks, and all of these craters all over the moon. And when we open God's word, it's like a telescope showing us what we really are. Notice in Romans chapter 3. And so many people think of themselves as being good before God, like this young man. They say, yep, okay there, okay there, okay there, okay there. Until God had to really hone in and show them. But Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is what? None righteous. No, not one. Verse 23. For what? All have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. We come short. So he said to him back in Matthew 19, he said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come follow me. That's Matthew 19:16. So the young man went away sorrowful there in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Upon further examination, the young man really did not love his neighbor as himself. You notice that was the last thing. And let's see, it'd be verse 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He was not willing to sell everything and give to the poor. He did not love his neighbor as himself because he was not willing to trade places with him. Down in Grand Rapids, I was going to the hospital one time in these recent weeks, and there was a man who was holding a sign. It said, homeless, need food, something like that. Homeless, need food. I mean, how many of us would stop and say to the man, are you really without a home? You don't have any food? Here's my car key. Here's my house keys. The car, well, I don't know how much gas it has in. Maybe 3/4 of a tank. Got 3/4 of a tank in. Here's my house keys. There's food in the refrigerator. Clean bed. It's yours. The car is yours. The house is yours. The food is yours. Would we do that? No, because none of us are good. None of us love our neighbors as ourselves. Would we trade places with that guy? Would we give him our house? That's what Jesus was saying to this young man. Verse 21, if thou wilt be what? Perfect. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come follow me. No, none of us are perfect. None of us love our neighbors as ourselves. Not perfectly. Jesus was showing this young man, and Jesus was not trying to say, you know, well, you should give away your car. I mean, maybe he will lead you someday to give away your car or whatever, but Jesus is not trying to tell us everything we have we should give away. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says he's given us all things richly to enjoy, but we are held accountable for what we have and how we use it. And Jesus was trying to show this young man, you are not perfect. You do not love your neighbor as yourself because you're not willing to trade places with him. If we really did, if we really loved our neighbor as ourselves, we would say, well, I've enjoyed this car. I've enjoyed this house. Now here, you enjoy it. That'd be quite a sacrifice, wouldn't it? But he was not willing to give all. And we find, and notice, hold your place here if you would, but in Isaiah 53, you see what a different standard there really is. I mean, as we'll see, you know, we compare ourselves with other people. That's not going to hold up one day. It's not other people that are the standard. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, what's the first word, Isaiah 53, 6? All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned what? Everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. Young people, what would you say if one of your little brothers or sisters, when you go home, you know, and I don't know what you do first, but maybe you take off your shoes. I don't know. But what would happen if you went into your bedroom and one of your little brothers or sisters was in your bed? What would you say? Would you say, whoa, you look comfy. Enjoy a nap, you know? Or would you say, what do you think you're doing in my bed? Get out of my bed. You got your own bed. What would you say? What happens if you sit down to eat and whoever gets the food before you takes everything left in the bowl or on the plate? And there's nothing for you. What would you say? Would you smile and say, boy, I am so glad that you got the last of whatever that was. And I am so happy that your tummy will be nice and full, you know. And I am just rejoicing that you got the last of it. Or would we say, what's the idea, you pig? Taking the whole bowl, taking everything on the plate. Hey, there's nothing left for me. What would you say? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? No. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Hey, say some for me. We've all turned everyone to his own way. The fact of the matter is every one of us naturally live selfish lives. We look out for ourselves. How many of you have ever seen an item advertised at the store and you went to buy it? Sure, most everyone. Okay. Have you ever gone to a store to buy something that was advertised as being on sale and found it sold out? Yeah. What is our reaction? Do we immediately get a smile and say, praise God, my neighbors got here first and they were able to buy this item. I am so happy that my neighbors was able to come here and buy this and have this item. And I am perfectly content that they got it. And I am happy. Is that our reaction? Or is it, oh, grumble, grumble, grumble. Why didn't the store manager order more of this? You know, and, oh, I should have gotten here sooner. But wait a minute. By saying, I should have gotten here sooner means I wanted to be my neighbors there so I could buy that. We've all gone astray. We may think we are really kind and giving, but there's not a one of us that perfectly love our neighbors as ourselves. Or we'd be happy that it's all sold out, that they got there first. How many of you have ever been to a garage sale and have been looking at an item and maybe you thought, well, I'm going to keep my eye on that item. I'm just not quite sure yet whether to buy it or not. And then you decide, well, I think I will buy it. And you went back and it was gone. Or maybe some other lady or guy had that in his hand right there. And he was telling the homeowner, I want to buy this. And you're thinking, oh, I wanted to buy that. Now they're getting it. What is that? We've gone everyone his own way. I wanted it. I wanted it. So it just shows us we're selfish. And the rich young man, it just showed him he didn't love his neighbor as himself. Now, how many of you have ever played basketball or volleyball or football or golf or whatever sport, and congratulated your opponent when they got the shot or they made the goal Friday night at the gym? I was thinking about this, and I just happened to hear several of you complimenting the other team when they made a basket. I was thinking about basketball, and usually it's the, well, I was going to say the older guys. I guess that's okay. Older doesn't necessarily mean old, just older. The older guys play the younger guys. Now, you older guys that are here, we need more help, okay? But anyway, so I heard some older guys compliment the younger guys when they just wasted us. I mean, they just went around us and whatever and got a bucket. I mean, that's a basket. And so I was thinking about, I'd already prepared this message, and I was thinking about, wow, those guys are spiritual. Amen. They are complimenting those young fellas for getting a good shot, a good basket. Well, that's what we should do, but how often does that happen? I mean, how often in a sporting event does someone miss the basket or mess up in volleyball? And how often do you think, oh, good, now we get the ball back? But what is that? We've turned everyone to our own way. We should not be happy when someone messes up. If we love our neighbor as ourselves. How many of you have ever been waiting in line at a red light in a long line? And someone wanted to get in, maybe from a parking lot or a side street. And you just hugged the bumper in front of you as close as you could because you thought, I have been waiting here a long time. I want to get through this. And there is no way that guy is going to inch in on me. I am not going to let him in. Or do you just naturally let them in? I was going to say let one in, and isn't that like us? If we've been waiting there a long time, and out of the goodness and the kindness of our hearts, we say, I'm going to let one guy in. But what happens then? The rest of that line wants to get in, and so what do you say out loud or think inside? No way. I let one in, and that's all. Buddy, you're going to have to wait. I am going next. Or do we back off and let them all in? Well, we'd get killed by the people behind us if we did that. But it's even when we think we're good, we're still selfish. I'll let one in. Goodness of my heart. Yeah, I'll let one in. And so we pat ourselves on the back for being so good. Notice in Isaiah 55, our thinking is so clouded. Last night, some of the folks went down to Lowell to the planetarium, observatory, whatever it's called, to look through the telescopes at the stars. And it was kind of cloudy at first. And so, they were having just to look at certain things, and the clouds were clouding the other thing. But our thinking is so clouded, really. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. The unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return and to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my what? Thoughts than your thoughts. I heard some of the guys running the telescopes last night say, yeah, the light of this star that you're seeing, actually, that star, shone that light millions of years ago. It takes millions of, or how many ever light years, for that star to actually reach the Earth. So, who knows for right now? For all we know, that star could have blown up by now, or not even be shining. We talked a little bit about that in our class today. But I was thinking, you guys, your thoughts are so clouded to the truth that God created the heavens and the earth. And as we talked in our class, you know, God has paths in the sea. Man didn't always know that. Man finally figured out that El Nino affects our weather, that current in the Pacific that hits Mexico and actually varies where it hits the western coast, affecting weather. The current in the Atlantic that goes up by Great Britain and Norway, even keeping its temperatures more mild. God has his way in the wind. The weight of the winds. There's currents in the winds. And what about, we looked at a path for the light. Our thinking is so elementary compared to God. I mean, if there's paths in the sea, if there's paths in the air, are there paths in space that we don't understand where light can travel very quickly? Man has no idea. Man is so finite and God is so infinite. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Man tries to look at the stars and figure out his origin, when the fact is God made it so complex so that man would say, you know what? That could only be from a creator. A creator. Send a bunch of cars out into a field and see what they do. I mean, people in cars driving in the field. What are they going to do? Probably crash. But if you make roads for those cars and street signs or street lights, you keep it organized. They showed us last night, one of the guys with a telescope showed us a red star. It was really neat looking. And so the white through the telescope, it's red. And someone asked him, said, well, how do you find that? And he was talking, I don't know if it was the red star or one of the other colors, but he said, well, a lot of practice. And it just happened to be that time, I don't think he could find that one. But he said, one of these, it's too dim to see through his spotting scope. And you know how it is if you look through a telescope. But you guys know if you're hunting, if you're looking through a telescope, even trying to find a deer or something, it's pretty difficult. You kind of have to get the general area. And so this guy, just knowing the general area, well, how is it that that star is always there? Well, God put the stars so accurate in their courses that man used to fly by the charts of the stars and navigate on the sea by charts of the stars. They're so accurate, man can line himself up with those stars and figure out exactly where he is on earth. And so God created that in Psalm 19 to show his glory. And let's look there in Psalm 19. But instead of man recognizing that fact, he looks beyond the obvious and is still trying to find. It's like if you got up this morning and you smelled French toast cooking, and you went out, and sure enough, the stove is on. The French toast is golden brown. I know I shouldn't talk about food this close to noon, but the French toast is golden brown. And instead of looking for the obvious that someone is in the process of cooking, you pick up that piece of French toast and you put it under the microscope and you say, I have got to find out how that French toast got on the stove and was cooking. Well, you can dissect that French toast for thousands of years and you're not going to find the answer. The answer is, look, there's someone there that was cooking it. And so when they look at the stars and try to just look deeper and deeper with a telescope, missing the obvious, someone designed it and put it there and is sustaining it in its course. So they take their telescope and miss the obvious and look deeper and deeper trying to find what is the obvious all along. So the fact goes right back to it. We've gone our own way. We're sinful. There's only one perfect one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. The judge at his trial said, I find in him no fault at all. That's Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh. He came, lived a perfect life, gave his pure, precious blood for us on that cross. He died, rose again victorious from the grave because his blood was sufficient. It did make the payment. And death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. And he ever lives. Let's not miss the obvious. The obvious is that we need a fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's no way to conjure up that fruit in ourselves. That is goodness. None of us are good. We are all selfish. And we need God working in us. We need to be saved, realize we can't save ourselves by our own goodness because we're not good, and then realize that we need his goodness to show through, to live a life that would somehow get their attention. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, goodness. And Lord, we realize this morning that we are bankrupt when it comes to that fruit. We are not good. We are selfish. Even when we think we have done such a good deed, we are still so selfish. And Lord, we confess to you that we cannot save ourselves by our own goodness. We need the only good one to save us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd help us as Christians to realize once again that we need a goodness that is beyond this sinful, selfish flesh. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as the song was sung. Lord, fill us now. Give us the power to do good that is beyond our sinful flesh, that is even beyond our thoughts. Because when we think we're good, we're still so rotten. So Lord, help us, use us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 316.